Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
I'm Lucky McKee, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I was living with a group of people following a man whom we thought was a prophet.
Prophet?
Yeah, but he wasn't, I don't think.
We've been given directions to go and visit a bunch of people who probably aren't there in a place that probably doesn't exist.
Oh my God, what was that?
Everybody involved.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, and welcome to the show, Glenn Triggs, film creator of a film coming up very shortly called Apocalyptic. Welcome.
Hello, how you going?
Good. Look, we've had you on a few times now, actually, Glenn. Yeah, in the past. Started with that iconic film that you made way back, Cinemaphobia. I think it was Muff, though, wasn't it? 2009 or 10?
I think it was 2010 for Muff, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. So that's going back a bit. And since then, 41 has been out.
Yes, that's right.
Another film. And now this one.
Yeah.
Apocalyptic. So tell us about what you can tell us about Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic, it's a found footage film about a local news crew that become horribly involved with a doomsday cult. It's a very sort of disturbing film, I guess you could say. It's very entertaining. It's my first sort of venture into the found footage genre. But it's been a lot of fun to make. It's been a very short process to make this film. It's been good. Yeah, it's turned out really good. I'm really happy with it.
So have you completed the filming yet?
We did. We had a completed cut of the film about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then did some test screen and realised that the ending was terrible. Reshoot the ending of the film next weekend.
Mm.
Hopefully we'll be finished by then, so that's the plan.
Yay, that's quick. When did you start production on it? Actual filming part of it?
About a month ago.
Oh wow, only a month.
Yeah, we filmed for 3 days on location, and then we did another 3 days just at different locations around the city. It was about 7 days in total, will be, when we're finished. So, yeah, for a very short production, which has been good.
I've just had a sneak peek at a couple of the, got online now, some of the trailers and teasers and that sort of thing. It looks intriguing. You're going out into the countryside, pretty much, for this one.
At a location called Cataminga Lodge, which is where they actually filmed The Man from Snowy River TV series.
Oh, okay.
And we're using a very small corner of that location to film the movie in, and it's been great. There's no sounds out there, like you can't hear any cars or traffic or people. It's just dead quiet, no lines. It's just everywhere, at 360 degree, everywhere you look is perfect. Yeah, it was lots of fun. We went away camping, but we went away, you know, it felt like a big camping trip, like a school camp trip, and we went away for 3 days with all the cast and crew, and yeah, filmed the whole movie. So it was lots of fun.
So how was it getting a bigger crew this time and big cast as well? What was that like working with them?
The cast was fantastic. Probably that 2 months trying to find the cast. We actually spent longer trying to find the people than we did actually filming with them.
Oh, right. Okay.
About 2 months trying to find the cast. The lead actor, the lead girl, was the hardest one to find. We had a multitude of different things, so it was really hard to find someone that was perfect for her, but we did. Yeah, it was heaps of fun. Everyone was great. It was mainly a female cast because the men in the cult that they come across have already left for the new world. It's a mainly a female-dominated cast, and we had one lead male actor and one lead cameraman in the film, so all the rest were women. And we had a few kids in the film as well. Yeah, they were great to work with. So we had to sort of, you know, specify that, you know, the film's quite a scary sort of movie, but they had heaps of fun, so it was great.
Didn't need any child psychologists on hand, just in case.
Yeah. I went fine, actually, which is good.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Now, what intrigues me is it's got that cult aspect to it, which that's something that resonates, I think, we haven't really seen for some time in a thriller suspense sort of way. Is it more thriller suspense, would you say, in this film?
Yeah, I guess so. It's not necessarily suspenseful. It's more sort of like got a disturbing sort of undertone. Don't really know that. I guess you could call it a horror film, really, but it's definitely got, yeah, very disturbing sort of undertone to the film. Yeah, I would call it a horror film for sure.
What was the influence on this one? Why did you want to do something specifically in this way?
I originally set out to make a film about a girl in a house and a ghost. The idea was to make them very simple, like super simple.
Yep.
And then I realised that that idea was a bit cliched and been done a couple of times, so I tried to think of something a bit different and something that would have just make me sort of like story-based rather than sort of character-based. So I just wanted the story to continually sort of move along. And so I just kind of, just talking to the friends one day, and we just sort of had the idea that maybe, you know, it's set around a cult, a news crew go into a cult and everything goes crazy. And that's where it sort of came from, I guess. It's kind of just very organic.
Yeah, no, interesting angle to it. Apocalyptic. I was thinking when you first sort of announced that, not a zombie movie.
Yeah. Well, no, not at all, no. The new ending that we're doing for the film is going to make it very real, which is good. Originally it was going to be a very horror movie, but now it's turned into a far more real and disturbing sort of story. So hopefully that works a lot better for the film.
Excellent. Yeah, look, you're very prolific. It seems to be you're bringing out one at least every year now.
Yes, I try, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of work there that you've cut out for yourself. I've noticed your updates on Facebook and so on. What keeps driving you to do that? What's your...
I just really enjoy the process.
Mm.
I find that everything else I do sort of in my life doesn't feel right unless I'm making a film, I guess. When I went between making 41 and this film, I kind of went to a bit of a slump, like where I wasn't making anything creative. And as soon as I started this film, like my life sort of just, it felt like it turned around and just got more interesting and more stable, which was really good.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I just really enjoy it. I don't do it for the money or anything like that at all. I just do it because I just actually love it. Yeah, it's been heaps of fun working on this film, and yeah, I'll be probably making another film next year, I would hope.
Well, let's hope so. So getting back to looking at 41, that's the time travel film, of course. I believe it's won some award recently. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we won a couple of awards. What was actually really interesting is I entered the film into a few festivals and I sent off like DVD and Blu-ray screeners to start with. Immediately we got into it at those festivals, like pretty much straight away they, you know, contacted and said, yeah, we want to screen the film. And then after that I started doing some online screeners that were digital uploads, just send them a link basically for the film, and I didn't get into any of those festivals. And then I thought, that seems strange. So I started sending off DVDs again and started getting into more festivals again. So I think it's something to do with people sit down and watch a DVD rather than something on their computer. Yeah, the festival went to the Las Vegas Film Festival. That was, I think, last year or year before? That was, no, 2012, last year. And also the Maverick Movie Awards. We got some nominations and some awards with them. And just recently we came first at the Rhode Island Flickers Film Festival. That was good.
Yeah, that's the one. That's cool.
Yeah, that was really good news. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Did you go over for the collect the award or?
Not for the Rhode Island one. We had our producers go over for that, but we didn't. I was over there for the Las Vegas one. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, just a lot of fun.
Perfect location.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
For fun. Yay. Well, that's great. What's coming up next? Do you have any ideas or clues about what your project or concepts you're looking at next time?
I'm not really too sure at the moment. Like, Talk with Big was always meant to be sort of like an in-between film. Like, it started off as being like a small project I could do in between bigger feature films, but it's turned into something bigger, which is good. So this year I'll just be working on that film, on Apocalyptic, and then next year I'm not sure. I've got a few script ideas happening, but nothing that I think I have really no idea at this point, so I'll just have to wait and see.
Just a curiosity, because VHS is, you know, the VHS has been coming quite prevalent as harking back, people looking at that, and I was at a friend's house just last night looking at their VHS collection. Have you still got that? You were doing a VHS thing on, was it Facebook or YouTube? I think it was YouTube.
Doing a review show called VHS.
Yeah.
Three episodes, and then I sort of lost momentum with that. But
it's a good idea, though. It's great.
Yeah, I've been collecting VHS for years, like since I worked at a video store. There's something a lot of people would say, you know, it's terrible quality, but I just love the nostalgia and the artwork and all that sort of thing about the tapes. Yeah, I've been collecting for ages. You find a lot of videos at op shops and things like that, which is really good. Yeah, so I just decided to make a little review show and just, you know, dressed up as different characters from old VHS 80s, you know, karate and horror movies, and a lot of fun. But I kind of lost a bit of momentum with it. I don't think I really found the audience that I was after, but it was definitely a lot of fun at the time.
That could change. Well, I'll let you go shortly. Anything else, or where can people find out more about Apocalyptic and Dark Epic Films, your film production company?
All the Dark Epic stuff you can see on the website, which is darkepic.net, and then all the Apocalyptic stuff at apocalypticmovie.com.
Well, that's wonderful, Glenn. Look, we're looking forward to when that does get a release date, because it seems that overseas they get everything. They get it all.
But yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good to have more exposure in Oz for local and independent filmmakers like yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Screen. Glenn Triggs, filmmaker, director, producer, everything just about, for the films that he does here based around Melbourne, and the new one coming out soon, I should say, will be Apocalyptic. So it looks very culty. I really like the look of it.
Great, that's good.
I'm Japanese. Nishimura Yoshihiro desu. Soshite.
And this is Mark Walko, and we are from Sushi Typhoon.
Yay! This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.